T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
What's up, buds?
On 670 The Score.
What's up, babes, is right. McNeil and Parkin's on The Score. Cubs drop 2 of 3. 18 consecutive shutout innings against the Northsiders. That ain't great. What up, Mac?
Danny, how do you feel about the questions you were posing about 26, 27 hours ago about the Cubs being in the Brewers' heads?
I think they're still in the Brewers fans' heads. Yeah, not the players, not so much.
And you got pantsed.
Yeah, well, they certainly did. And yeah, I don't look great in that one either. Listen, this was a big series for the Brewers. The Cubs are going to be fine. And I will still put it out there, they're winning the division by 5 games or more. Anyone think the Brewers are winning this division?
I'm sticking with my pick as the Cubs. I think I had them winning the division by 9 or 10 games. I've reduced it to 6.
Yeah, the Brewers are good.
Yeah, they it was a fun series.
I mean, it was fun.
It's never fun when your team's in an offensive funk. 18 consecutive scoreless innings, never fun. I can't remember ever enjoying an 18-inning scoreless stretch.
Today's game especially was boring. Oh, my God. Like, okay, it got interesting late.
Until the eighth inning. When the Brewers were at the plate.
Yeah, last 6 outs were great when you had Cishek and Dunsing and Contreras and left, and then Joe not pinch hitting Bryant for Jimenez in the 9th. Mm-hmm. Like, there was legitimate intrigue the last 6 outs of that baseball game. But the first 7.5 innings, it was like, weak ground ball, weak pop-up, bloop single, weak ground ball.
But people don't like strikeouts.
I know.
How was all that soft contact for you?
God, it was just ground ball, fly out, ground ball. Ground ball, walk, fly out. It was just, there was never more than one base runner at a time.
It seemed Schwarber hit a ball hard once, I think in the 7th inning.
But yeah.
Yeah. It was not even a dilly bar because it didn't fall.
Yeah. It was not great. Like, yesterday's game was bizarre and weird, and there was Chatwood, and then there was the failed rundown with Lorenzo Cain deking out the Cubs.
Like, right.
There was at least some intrigue there in that 4-0 loss. Like, today was just, it was a baseball game that I hope to never have to reference ever again.
I never want to be in my car again, my truck, my Ford F-150, when Joe Maddon puts a relief pitcher in left field. I never want to not be able to see that as it's happening. I couldn't get out of my truck. I'm in the parking garage, and Lorenzo Cain keeps fouling everything off. I think it was a 12-pitch at bat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, I just hit it to left field. Please hit it to left field.
You wanted to see if Steve Cishek got his Travis Wood on?
He could
make a play out there?
He's the boopiest name on the Cubs, isn't he?
Yes.
Steve Cishek. Standing dribble between the rings.
Listen, that is Joe being Joe. You got Dunsing out there for an out. You got Cishek out there for an out. And then the play that Contreras made, because that was...
Yes, of the 3 non-left fielders to play left field, he's the most capable, and he made a play.
Yeah, he's done it before, and the guy's a good athlete, and he's fast, but the sun was, like, right there.
I know, that's what they kept saying. That's what Coombs says, and his fate has it. That's the worst sun field right now.
Yeah.
It's left field. So Joe Maddon challenges Steve Cishek and Brian Dunsing and puts him in left field in a 1-run game. And I so was hoping the ball got hit there and was played poorly so I can listen to Maddon tell me after the game why it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, he would play the process over the results.
Yeah, the right thing to do.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, Smug Joe.
You know, I love Smug Joe.
Yes, the old blue shoes, the big blue shoes Kyle Schwarber used to wear when he was hacking it up before he became what we now consider to be a safe left fielder. adventuresome from time to time, but pretty safe, and a guy who's got a good arm.
Yeah.
Starting to feel better about him defensively.
No question.
We're not in any rush to get the designated hitter rule applied to the National League. We can live with two more years of Schwarber and left.
I'd still like it.
I really wanted that to happen. I wanted to hear him explain that.
Don't worry. Wait long enough. It'll happen. Joe will do it again.
Because he's got it coming. He deserves to have it shoved up his giggy for doing that.
But it's... Why? It's
not respecting the position. The ball will find you, they say.
It doesn't deserve respect.
Left field doesn't deserve respect in a 1-0 game. That's right. These things are all irrelevant until September. I was reminded of that yesterday by the Cubs center fielder on a Tico Tuesday.
What was the discussion we just had? Was it yesterday about how pitchers are the most athletic players all through coming up on their high school teams, their youth teams, their travel league teams?
Right.
You think like putting a relief pitcher in left field is that hard of a task? Where does your worst defensive position player generally play?
I understand that, but it's not something they're used to doing. And if it bit a manager in the butt, he would have to say, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that again in a one-run game. I'm not talking about cleaning up garbage time because you're at the end of the bench.
But the reason he's doing it is precisely because it's a one-run game. Those are his high-leverage relievers, and he wants to play the matchups because managers are smart, and they go lefty-righty, lefty-righty as much as they can. So you can't just put one guy in who has the same splits against the rest of the lineup. Like you wouldn't need to do it at a 7-run game because you'd have Corey Mazzoni or whoever on the mound the whole time.
I'll give you that. Shep remembers half of that conversation yesterday about pitchers before they get to the big leagues. We said, why can't they represent themselves like pro athletes when they stand at the plate with a bat in their hands?
Yeah.
Because they don't work at it, just like they don't work at playing left field either. I mean, those skills erode if you don't work.
Catching a fly ball or chasing down a fly ball is a hell of a lot different than hitting a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
It is. I'm talking about a tough play, though. I'm talking about a hard-hit ball. There was a runner on base in that inning as well, right?
Listen, if the ball that Contreras caught for the third out would have gone to Dunsing or Cishek, 100% Joe gets crushed and he gets second guessed and that ball is a double or a triple. They're not making that play. But he's doing the calculus there of, because of these splits, I like Dunsing against Kane, and I don't remember who Cishek faced, but it's like he likes the splits. They've got the spray charts about the likelihood of hitting a ball to left field.
I know. They had a left-handed hitter up, too.
Exactly. Like that's what he's doing.
And I still would like to see him get lit up for it.
That's fine. And by the way, like Joe will take it. Joe will absolutely take the second guessing, and he'll take the pounding, and he'll tell you that over the course of 162, it's the right play.
Yeah, that's what he'll do, and he'll dismiss you summarily, and then have another sip of wine.
Yeah, that's
right. Tie-dye t-shirt. He's cool Joe.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And listen.
Quite frankly, we could not have hit the ball better than we did. That's the most incredible shutout I've ever seen in my life.
I'm telling you, manager spin rate. Like they talk about spin rate for pitchers, managerial spin rate where they can spin negatives into positives. Joe is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's the best.
I concur.
He's the absolute best.
Yeah.
Now, while that play was fun, there are some legitimate baseball things that are happening right now, right? The inconsistency of this great offense. I think we can call it a great offense based on 3 years of the NLCS, one World Series title, and leading the National League in runs per game.
And on base percentage going into yesterday's games.
Yeah, by the standard of baseball in 2018, this is a great offense. But damn, they're frustrating.
Because they're very streaky.
And they seem to follow that adage of when one guy slumps, four of them slump. They're hot together and they slump together because hitting's contagious and it takes the pressure off the next guy and all of the mental reasons that we've heard about it.
Right. We can't have Chris Bryant rubbing off on Jason Hayward for much longer.
Exactly. This year we've seen Rizzo carry the team offensively for a stretch. Baez carried the team offensively for a stretch. And other than that, it's been like streakiness of guys like being hot together at the same time or bad together at the same
time. Feast or famine.
And it's just, it's a maddening thing to watch because it's gotten so bad evidently that Chris Bryant, one of the 15 most talented players in the world, in a 1-0 game, when he has the day off, and there's a day off tomorrow, Joe's like, eh, I'll hit my backup catcher in the ninth inning. That's ridiculous. Like, if people are downplaying where Chris Bryant is, Joe Maddon didn't pinch hit him in a 1-0 game.
I couldn't believe it.
For Chris Giménez. Because you were telling me, hey, don't worry about Bryant. And I get it. Like, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. And I know now he gets 2 days off before the St. Louis series. But you're telling me first place on the line, 1-0 game, Chris Giménez is hitting. It wasn't Wilson Contreras. It wasn't Javi Baez. It wasn't Anthony Rizzo. Chris Giménez.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing about where Chris Bryant is right now.
Yeah, was Maddon asked about that in the news conference? Why Chris Bryant didn't get that opportunity?
I don't know if we have it. You and I were eating donuts.
Yes, I did. The texters are concerned. Munster Donuts was visited, as always, fresh as the day is long. They make them fresh every 3 hours.
Have another donut!
Donuts was delicious.
Yeah, they're spectacular.
Yeah.
And we just got to save a couple for Lawrence. I told him I'd leave him a couple of chocolate cake donuts, but the rest are fair game. Eli and all the fellas, dig in. It's setback sweetener. That's what Spiegel and I invented in 09 on Bears Mondays.
Yeah.
That's when Victory Chicken was born. After wins, and specifically that year, it was the win over the Steelers when the Bears were dogs in week 2. That's when Victory Chicken was born.
Okay.
Maybe it was week 3. Doesn't matter. And then when they lose, setback sweetener. You bring in something sweet. So since the Cubs haven't scored a run since I saw you last night and they played 18 innings, we should have something sweet, and we are.
All right. Well, yeah, I had the German chocolate, I believe, earlier. Is that correct? I need to have one of those apple things.
The apple crumb, those are my favorites, but I've already had 2.
I
haven't had one of those yet, though. So, well, 3 of them. That's a nutritious dinner, isn't it? Cup of coffee and 3 donuts?
It's delicious. You're listening to McNeil and Parkins, by the way, and this is WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX and HD2 Chicago. No, we're going straight through, Mac. We're going straight through, my friend. That's right.
All right. I thought you were throwing to break. No. I was going to go visit the little boys' room.
No, just a legal ID. We got 15, 20 more minutes
Let's
here.
Let's do it.
With commercial. But so,
let's bag all of the commercials and just assume control.
Joe Maddon did comment on Chris Bryant as well today. We don't have the audio, but the quote as follows. That's easy to say. He's been struggling a lot. Theoretically, it sounds wonderful, but thought Giménez had some good swings today. It's an easy dialogue to try and conjure up, but I was really trying to give him the day off.
Sure, like that. That's the only.
That's why I don't understand. Anything like, up. He's 2 years removed from being a league MVP.
I don't understand. Like, and Ron Coomer speaks about it a lot during the broadcasts too. I think last Sunday, Rizzo and Bryant both got full games off, and he's the importance of give him a full day. Don't make him hit once. And it's like, does a major league hitter? I get you go and you take swings in the batting cage to get ready for your bat. But like, does one pinch hitting appearance really like tire you out that much? All the preparation that goes into that, really? I mean, it's still
I don't think it's
eight
about
innings,
like,
and 2 other outs you're no part of.
If he told him before the game began he's not going to break a sweat, then I don't think he wants to go change. He's already got the mindset that he's not going to work.
It's not about like physical fatigue. It's about you are slumping so much that we are Don't wear spikes today.
Yeah, take a day off and spectate.
Yeah, and then with the off day tomorrow, you get 2 full ones. I'm just saying, like that quote, and thank you for reading it, it's the only explanation, right? Like, it's the only, and by the way, it also tells you how little emphasis the Cubs are putting on these games. If this game, instead of it being June 13th, is August 13th or September 13th, Chris Bryant could have been wearing slippers. Joe's telling him, go put on cleats. You're getting in. You're pinch hitting for Chris Giménez.
If I learned anything yesterday, it was that's the magic month. Everything that happens between when the boys check in Maricopa County, Arizona in mid-February until August 31st, that's all empty calories. Albert Almora told us yesterday, everything is meaningless until September.
Yeah, so I agree. Like, that is the explanation from Joe. I'm giving him 2 days off. He's struggling. Didn't matter what the situation was. That's fine. But I do think it's instructive about how much they are willing to admit that Chris Bryant is struggling. That they would prefer their backup catcher over Chris Bryant in that spot.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking. It's kind of smug in a way, but they still, and rightfully so, they still view themselves as the hunted.
Yeah, and they are.
They will.
And they are, and they should feel like they are the hunted because they are the best team in the division, and over 162, that will play out. I still believe that. But let's take some calls today. This is a basically extended Cubs, 312-644-6767. You just dropped 2-3 to the Brewers. We're hanging out with you for another hour, then we'll pass the baton to Lawrence Holmes. You've been shut out in 18 consecutive innings. Mike Montgomery has an ERA of 1.12, I believe, 1.14, four straight quality starts.
Yeah, he's been terrific all four times they've given him the ball to start.
So I'm curious how people are feeling as we sit here today on June 13th, 312-644-6767. On the Montgomery thing, I do think that he is pitching himself to a point because Jim Hickey was on with Mullin Hanley today and said he would be surprised if Darvish was not back before the All-Star break. So All-Star break is, you know, 2 weeks into July. We're 2 weeks into June. Mm-hmm. So that's the next 4 weeks, basically, the next month. He thinks he will be back in less than 4 weeks. Give Montgomery another, what, four starts between now and then?
Likely.
Right?
Possibly five.
Right before you even have to make a decision on what you do with the rotation? My guess is, like, if it continues like this, if four great starts turns into eight great starts, if the numbers are even remotely similar over eight, they go to a six-man rotation or they fabricate something for Tyler Chatwood.
Tyler Chatwood would be the odd man out. You can't very well do it with Yu Darvish because of his colossal salary. It's unfortunate that's what it comes down to. But, yeah. I mean,
but Andy,
what was Chatty, $39 million?
Yeah, 3 years, you know, $39 million.
That's tip money, comparatively. So whatever happens to him in the short term, no big deal.
Yeah, I think it's true about whatever happens to him in the short term, no big deal. But if he's still struggling badly, they'll just fabricate some injury for him and send him to the minors for a little bit. Just, you know, give him a mental rest. But if Chatwood is doing what he's doing and, you know, still escaping from the jams, even if he is walking, he has no value in the bullpen. If he's walking everybody, you can't put Tyler Chatwood in the bullpen.
No, you don't feel good about it. How are you going to bring in to start an inning, but you're certainly not going to bring him in if there are runners on base.
No, and even in that situation, like, so you're going to put him in a, you're up 3-2 in the fifth or sixth, and you're going to Tyler Chatwood. The worst thing you want is free base runners from a relief pitcher. So I don't think Chatwood has much value out of the bullpen. If Montgomery keeps pitching this well, I'll put it out. I think it's six-man rotation time. Joe's done it before. He's unconventional. Save Lester. You know what I mean? Ease Darvish back into the rotation.
Yeah, and then maybe tax your bullpen just a little bit less, and they can spend more time playing left field.
Yes, exactly. More versatility. And, you know, I know you're joking, but that's the other part of this offense. Montgomery should have gone deeper today. It's the result of National League Baseball.
I know.
79 pitches.
Yeah, sixth inning, you got to lift him.
But you got to take him out because you need the offense somewhere. And the lineup was weird today, right? It was typical getaway day game after a night game type of lineup. You had LaStella at third. You had Baez at second. You had Zobrist Zobrist at second, Baez at short, LaStella at third, Happ in center. Like, weird lineup today. So you're giving a bunch of guys a day off. You're giving Contreras a day off. You're giving Bryant a day off. And then your pitcher is flatly dealing. And because your offense can't scrape across one damn run in the first six innings, you've got to pull him.
It's on the Mount Rushmore of frustrating losses for the Cubs this year.
Yeah, it was just lifeless.
It was. And, you know, back-to-back shutouts will feel lifeless. They always do. They never feel good. And when you're not even hitting the ball hard, they didn't get a lot of good at-bats today.
No, it was just weak contact left and right, and it was eight base runners left through seven. I didn't see a final count. I can pull up the box score here real quick. My apologies for not having it on hand. But it felt like it was one base runner an inning. You know what I mean? There weren't real scoring chances ever. It was just, cool. Here's a walk. Here's a bloop single.
Yeah.
Here's a ball that found a hole.
It's a good time to get those struggling home run numbers up when you do get a guy on base. Somebody's got to start playing jack.
First few base runners that got on every single time, it was after there were already two outs. When they finally get a hit, it's like, okay, I think their first three hits of the game all came when there were already two outs, and then it was the only hit of the inning. By the way, Extended Cubs Post with McNeil and Parkins brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. They're making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. I'm frustrated, but I'm not worried. That's where I am.
You shouldn't be worried. Yeah. I got in here a little bit earlier to sort of provide a public service and talk some texters off the ledge.
Oh, wow.
Some of them have gotten back to me and saying, I appreciate that. You're right. It is only June 13th. It's a frustrating series to lose because, as we discussed yesterday, the fans put more into this than the players do, and that's on both sides. That's not just the Cubs. The Brewers do. They know it's a marathon. They know the division will not be won this week.
Correct. This was much bigger, though, for the Brewers than it was the Cubs. Like, the Brewers absolutely in that clubhouse are celebrating this a little bit more than just a regular season win in June. I mean, they were 1-8 heading into yesterday's game against them, and now they just won a series, and they leave the series still in first place, having gained a game. They're now a game and a half up in the Central on the Cubs.
You see the choir boy-faced Craig Counsell having a conversation with his team after the game, just going crazy and saying, they don't respect you. Chris Bryant's not even pinch hitting. You're going to be kidding me, Chris Jimenez? That's what they think of you.
He should.
I doubt it. I can't see him doing anything remotely close to anything inspirational other than just being a wonderful human.
Yeah, wonderful human, lead by example, super smart, former player who they just respect because he's a real mensch. Yeah, I don't think that he's flipping over a table.
That's my boy Ovi, isn't it, from yesterday? There he is, good old number 8. He only consumed 8 liters of vodka since the Capitals won the Cup.
There's no way to figure it out, but I'd love to know the first time that he's sober, because it hasn't happened yet.
Doesn't appear.
No. No chance. He still wakes up with a BAC over 0.08.
Yeah. He deserves it. It's good. You know, it's fun to see somebody enjoying a championship as much as he has. And this is a case where social media is wonderful for everybody, because all it is a positive. You see, a guy who's been at it that long, he's going to the Hall of Fame, his first opportunity, but that cup meant that much to him that he's been on a 6-day bender. And he's sleeping with the cup. He's taking it with him everywhere he goes.
He should. 302-644-6767. You want to talk to some Cubs fans?
I'd love to.
Let's do it. In Elmwood Park. Chuck, thanks for calling McNeil and Parkins.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got two things. Hear me out. Why isn't Victor Caratini the backup catcher? He's a way better hitter. And Ian Happ should never be playing over Elmora. They're 90 points apart in batting average.
Well, listen, I mean, thanks for the call. Caratini went down for Jimenez. That won't be a full season-long thing, but neither one of them is an everyday catcher. You've got your everyday catcher in Wilson Contreras.
Ian Happ is a very skilled young baseball player and has to get repetitions, and that's why he's going to continue to get repetitions.
I mean, he had a monster slugging month in May. We're not that far removed from Ian Happ being, he was probably the second or third best power hitter on the team in May in an OPS of 1,000.
Yeah.
So
he lit the fuse to the season. First pitch of the season in Southern Florida. He went yard.
And then had a big slump for the rest of
the month.
Well,
I didn't want to be all negative. Remember, it's setback sweetener. It's Munster Donuts.
Yeah, my bad. It's just, we've talked about this. The lineup is not the issue. It's just not. He has to play everybody. You could say, no, he doesn't, Parkins. Yeah,
he does. That's been one of the most wonderful things about their baseball team this year. They're getting contributions from 25 men, if you count Tyler Chatwood.
It's arguably their greatest strength.
Yes.
And it keeps guys fresh for September and October, so you don't have to wear them down. Positional versatility, giving guys days off, day games after night games. He does it based on matchups. Like, it's not random. So, Ian Happ, he's what, 24 years old?
I think so.
Yeah. Don't give up on Ian Happ as an everyday player. That's not necessary. And we all love Albert Almora, but Yeah, it's not going to happen. 312-644-6767. Let's go to the Tri-State. Welcome, Steve, to the Score. What up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
Tommy La Stella batting third wants me to put forks in my eyes. I understand what Joe was trying to do. But when you see Tommy La Stella batting third when the lineup comes out today, there has to be a better alternative. And, Danny, the Brewers, if you go man by man for their starting nine, they're pretty comparable to what the Cubs throw out there right now, which is why...
No, they're not.
Take a look at the lineup and take a look at both starting nines and tell me where the Cubs have a significant edge right now, today, over the Brewers. And I predict, say it like you mean come August, Theo's going to pull off a trade for a bat. And I would not be surprised if one or two of the core players move onto the American League, if you know where I'm going. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for checking in, Steve. Appreciate the telephone call, man.
Yeah, that would be hopefully Manny Machado as the bat that is coming back. And listen, if you want to talk to me about the numbers now, right now, through June 13th, sure, they are comparable. Coming into the series, the Brewers were first in home runs. Their lineup is playing very well. Their bullpen is the best in the league. Through this stretch of time, obviously, the Brewers have been slightly better, a game and a half, better than the Cubs. I'm not denying that. But you want to talk to me about pedigree of player? 1 through 25 on this roster or 1 through 9 in a lineup? No. They got good players. They have nice players.
Yeah, I think the Cubs have a better roster also.
Of course they do.
I agree with that. But Tommy La Stella hitting third is curious today.
It is. But again, lineup order is wildly overstated in terms of impact.
Well, yeah, that's what the numbers tell you. But when you saw that today, your eyebrows didn't come up just a little bit thinking, really?
Oh,
really, Super Joe?
I was surprised. Tommy La Stella has been the best pinch hitter in baseball. Guy's been hitting like 400 as a pinch hitter this year. He gives you good professional at-bats. Now, did I think when I woke up this morning that he was going to be the three hitter? No. But I also didn't look at the splits, and I didn't know that Bryant was getting a day off, and Contreras was getting a day off, and Al Morrow was getting a day off. Like, it's just a weird thing. So would second have been okay? Like, would five have been okay? Like, they didn't
lose. Old adage is the third spot is reserved for your best hitter, isn't it? Has that changed?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Bryant won an MVP batting second. So, yeah, it kind of has changed. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter. It does not matter where they bat in the lineup. I'm sorry. You look at me like I'm crazy. Like, math has proven this.
Yeah.
Like, math is undefeated. I'm not going to tell you that I can do the math, but the math is undefeated. It's Tommy La Stella. Joe puts guys who are struggling up at leadoff to just change their headspace. He puts guys who are playing great in the middle of the lineup because you want your best players hitting at the top. Tommy La Stella is giving you good at-bats recently.
Okay, hit him third again when they go back at it on Friday against the Cardinals. Hell, hit him third all year if you want to, if it doesn't matter.
No, but that's not – you do it based on the matchup. And listen, if Tommy La Stella got 600 at-bats, I don't think that he would have these types of numbers or else he would be Chris Bryant.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's one game. It's one game.
Right, and it's a game you apparently didn't need. That's how they looked at it.
I don't think it, so they're not tanking the game. They're playing the long haul.
No, but they didn't play it like it was a game that was really important to them. If they did, Bryant would have hit, and maybe he doesn't play smartest guy in the room again and throw his relief corps out in left field with a one-run game.
Yeah, I agreed with you on the Bryant part. Don't agree on the relief pitcher part. And they shouldn't treat this game like it's September 13th because it's not.
And they didn't.
But they shouldn't. Texters are like, my God, when do we fire Chili Davis? They lead the league in runs.
And on base percentage.
You seen Jason Hayward recently? The guy's hit it over 270. He's hugging Chili Davis every time I see him on my screen.
Well, you know, Danny, I can promise you, as soon as the bullpen goes bad, they'll be wanting for, Hickey to be the guy who hangs.
Oh,
God. It's always the hitting coach and the pitching coach. Jesus, it's not even July, and we're getting Chili Davis needs to go.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Texter writes in, if I wanted to hear math and specifics, I'd listen during the midday. Stick to being the ish show. You're right. That's my bad. You know what we're going to do? Mac, I am confident you have not heard this audio yet because neither have I, and it happened during the White Sox game last night. But I got ripped during the broadcast. Oh, yeah.
Really?
On air.
Benetti and Stone?
Just Benetti. I think. Yeah. I haven't heard it.
Stone dropped the gloves on Twitter recently with Pappy, Mike North.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did. We'll keep taking your Cubs calls. We'll keep talking Cubs post game, but also Jason Benetti ripped me last night during the Sox game, and I will be honest with you, I 100% deserved it.
You had it coming.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
He had it coming.
It's coming up. McNeil and Parkins on the score.
That ball's hit well by Moncada. Into center field. And out of here. Into the shrubs for Moncada. It's 1-0.
Nice to see you on Moncada. Amidst the struggle, still have some power. The audio brought to you by Lakeside Bank. In business, cash management is a key to success. But you're being overcharged on bank fees. Lakeside Bank will save you money on cash management. Call Matt at 312-763-6660. Join Lakeside and start saving now. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. We'll get back to your Cubs calls and Cubs post in just a second.
So that's what the White Sox sound like on television, huh?
Yes. Well, listen, that
I've forgotten.
That was part of it because
I deleted 16 games yesterday.
Oh, good for you. The old season pass. So, Taney, should I say what I did wrong first, or is it explained in the clip?
Let's just say that for those who didn't know, the White Sox were doing their charity auction last night.
Yes.
I think that's all we need to say about that. And they had a lot of great things up for auction. Golf with Hawk and AJ was one of the items.
Fantastic.
They had like mystery bags with autographed baseballs, things like that. So you could donate to charity online, and it was auctions involved. So it was very, very heavy social media presence. And in and out of all the innings, they were like advertising some of the things that they had up for the auction. So.
Okay.
So I think I know where this is going.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah. All right. Well, so here is Jason Benetti from the Sox broadcast last night.
By the way, one last word about the ultimate auction. Thanks to everybody who participated. You get some great gifts. And we do have official confirmation that the votes are in for least helpful local talk show host. Least helpful local talk show host. Did you know that contest was going on?
No, it's a stirring contest, however.
Least helpful local talk show host Danny Parkins just retweeted my tweet about the auction bidding closing at 9. Danny, it's 9:14.
Yeah, but not on the West Coast. Those polls are still open. We can't give the results until all the polls close.
Danny does radio here. Oh, boy. A fine young man, Danny Parkins. 1-1 to Kipnis.
That's great. I knew exactly where that was heading.
Oh, God.
I thought it was 37 minutes overdue. Maybe that's when I saw your tweet, but I noticed the timelines didn't quite work out for you.
I would love to blame the Twitter algorithm that'll like randomly show you a tweet from 23 hours before just because someone randomly liked it or retweeted it, but my reading comprehension was just poor.
Your intentions were good.
Right. These are the best
intentions. What do they say about the road to hell?
Exactly.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Nice going, Jason.
Might have to add that to my Twitter bio. Well, but the thing is, you mentioned like that's what White Sox broadcasts sound like. Two people tweeted me about it. I'm watching the Cubs game. I'm talking to Steph. I'm not really paying attention to anything. And then Benetti texts because someone says, like, you know, wow, ha ha, the Sox broadcast at Danny Parkins. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And then Benetti texts me during the next commercial break, and he just goes, I just blew you up on TV. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on.
And only two of your... Oh, that's...
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's a fine young man, Danny Parkins.
That's really frustrating from Jason's standpoint.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, all right, my bad, man. I tried to just give you some love to Sox Charities. Don't get caught up in the details, right? next year. The website's still good. You can still go and see what they do at White Sox Charities.
Yeah, I wish I would have. Yeah, that's what, the first I'd heard of it. That was 17 minutes late.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bid on golf with Hawk Harrelson and AJ Pierzynski.
What'd that go for, Tanny? Did you see?
I did not see what the grand total was, but it was up there.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think Dinner Rick Hahn was up there too. The last I checked before the auction ended, it was like, I think, near $3,000 for Dinner with Rick Hahn.
Wow.
Really?
That's quite all.
I hope he wears his best Brooks Brothers suit.
You got to go to a long dinner there too. Can't just be like soup and a sandwich.
I know, for $3,000. Put the phone down, Rick. Let me tell you what I think of Carson Fulmer.
Five courses at least. That's a five course minimum meal. All right, 312-644-6767. Cubs panic is rolling right now. People are very angry. Parkins, is it not clear to you that Joe Maddon costs the Cubs more games than he helps them? No, Texter, I'm sorry. It is not clear to me that Joe Maddon, the manager who won a World Series for the Cubs and who has been the winningest manager in Cubs
history.
Well,
that doesn't mean he can't be questioned from time to time. Some people have some questions with how he managed today, and I think you do too.
Oh, he can be questioned from every single day. But that point was, finally, you're starting to see that he costs the Cubs more games than he helps them. That is a macro point, not a micro point.
Yeah, and that's inaccurate.
Yeah, he's the winningest manager they've had. He's been
just
to the
asking.
NLCS threes. Yeah, exactly. 312-644-67.
It's the right thing to do.
Let's go to Indy and welcome David to the Score. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good,
hi,
man.
David.
Hey, just checking in a couple things, and they're kind of related, but your macro-micro point, I'll just chime in on that real quick. He does cost them games, though. I mean, that's the bottom line, I guess. And, yes, you're eternally thankful that they won a world championship and they wouldn't have won it without him, but they nearly lost it strictly because of him and how he handled that. And that kind of attitude and the way he goes about managing.
Do you believe that he also wins games for them or just only loses them?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And there's no doubt they don't win a championship without him. So,
okay.
Yes, there's. But I would say he tries to be he outsmarts himself more often than not, and he does things simply not just to create chatter or talk or whatever, but to try to show how smart he is. I absolutely believe that. And it backfires probably. Again, you could have to look it up. I would argue it backfires more than it doesn't.
So you think that Joe Maddon is a net negative?
I think when he gets quirky and tries to do things outside the box, it's absolutely a net negative. I think the guy's a great manager. I think he's a great player's manager. Again, Cubs don't win a world championship without him, no doubt about it. But they barely won it in spite of him, more so because of how he handled
game 6 and 7 were not great. You're never going to get
me
to defend.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, you're not going to get me to defend that. Like, I agree. They won those games in spite of Joe Maddon and how he used. We all know it. We don't need to rehash it. But what he did with Chapman, we understand.
Right.
But Joe Maddon, if you're saying that they won it because of him, like overall, then he's a net positive. And the idea of like thinking outside the box as being somehow a bad thing when you're this talented and the sport is this much of a grind and the team has achieved the level of success that it has, that's a hard sell for me, man. Like,
and I get it to a point, and I buy into it to a point even, and it's one of his better attributes to an extent. But just like today's game, literally just mailed it in. There was no intention of winning today's game, and quite frankly, I mean, you mentioned the 6-man rotation. Chatwood's not good. You could put him anywhere, right? Like, he's not good as a starter. He's not going to be good as in the bullpen. He's just not good. So going to a 6-man rotation, you're basically mailing in one out of every 6 games already whenever you roll that guy out there. So if you're going to mail a game in this series like you did last night when he was on the mound, why not take 4 guys or 3 guys out of your lineup last night when you have him going out there knowing the odds of you winning are not good?
Do you know what Tyler Chatwood's ERA is?
No, what is it?
3.98.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Kyle Hendricks right now.
About half a run better than John Lester's last year.
And Hendricks obviously has struggled this year, no doubt about it. Valid point. But
so my point is, unless you are demoting him permanently, when they just gave him a 3-year, $39 million contract that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer decided we're going to sign him to be the first pitcher signed of the entire offseason. He was the biggest contract signed in baseball for like the first 7 weeks of the offseason.
and arguably the worst mistake made, right? Worst investment probably from that standpoint. Like they,
it's
they
June.
Waited,
yeah, it's David.
It's
thank
June.
You.
Thanks.
Let's get some more callers.
All right, he's got a sub-4 ERA.
It's yeah. You can't. It's not been a good start for either of their free agent starting pitchers. But
no.
It's too early to say it was a horrible deal. It doesn't look good now.
Right. Agreed. He has escaped more jams than he's gotten out of. Now, he's not pitching deep enough into games.
Part of the problem is that he's as responsible as any of them for taxing the bullpen the way they have.
100%. Like, Chatwood has not been good, even though the ERA is serviceable for a fifth starter. Like, if you were going to tell me that your fifth starter was going to have a 3.98 ERA,
you'd live with that.
You'd be thrilled,
yeah.
I think. Like, in baseball today, that's worth it. You just need more innings. Like he just needs.
It's hard to do that when you're leading the league in walks.
Exactly. By the way, we're talking Cubs on the Score right now. It's brought to you by Northwestern Football. Just got a huge recruit, 5-star quarterback yesterday, transferred from Clemson. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. It blows my mind the people like net positive, net negative, the number of people that actually believe net negative on Joe Maddon. That's crazy.
I'm not surprised by it. It seems to be a tradition in this city and probably many others. Whenever a team is going poorly, typically the manager is the one who takes the blame. I mean, I don't know how many times I listen to Cubs fans barbecue Jim Riggleman or Tom Treblehorn before him when they lose 1-0 games. That's the nature of Chicago baseball fans, apparently.
Yeah.
Blame the manager.
Yeah, it's easier to blame the manager because he's not your favorite player.
He's not perfect, but I think for that team, he's been a terrific tonic. Those guys have bought into his way of doing things, and they've responded as professional athletes to him.
Right. The value of a manager in baseball is grossly overstated.
Yeah.
5 wins here.
Handling the pitching staff is probably his toughest task.
Yeah, and just the human side of it, just breaking up the grind,
right.
Keeping guys fresh.
I meant
fresh.
The baseball thing would be the pitching staff,
yeah, correct.
But yes, you got to be a tone setter, and there are times when you have to be tough, and he does it in a way where he keeps them on his side.
And then the Chatwood point, I'm not saying he's been good. Far from it. That is an obvious point. But when the caller says he's been the worst signing that they have, I mean, Darvish has been a worse signing than him so far.
Yeah.
Right? So
he can't even go out there and walk people.
So it absolutely has not been the worst signing of the offseason. It hasn't even been their worst signing of the offseason. Guy's got to go deeper into games, period. Montgomery will replace him, or they'll go to a 6-man rotation if Darvish comes back healthy and Montgomery is still pitching well. It's not like Chatwood has some sort of birthright to be in this rotation in August or September, and there's looking like no way at this point that you'd ever give him the ball in a playoff game.
Right. I don't think even when you get to a critical part of the calendar, if he doesn't turn it around, I mean, yeah, is $39 million a decent chunk of money? Yes, but by Cubs standards, no. They're not going to let that impede their ability to compete in the division and get to the playoffs if he's not turned around by August.
Yeah, not at all. And I'll even take it a step further. Tyler Chatwood might not make the playoff roster if he doesn't get better. Because if you're not going to start him and he has no value in the bullpen,
that's right.
You know, like if you're going to only have 4 starters, like this is not a defense of Tyler Chatwood. It's just you're not pulling him from the rotation June 13th. It's ridiculous.
312-644-6767.
And Schaumburg, Matt's on the Score. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Longtime listener, first time caller. Listen, I got a question. At what point does Almora become an everyday starter? Because, I mean, I get it that, you know, you got to give Hap some reps. And, I mean, he deserves it. He's going to be a great player. But, I mean, look at the Cubs' record with Almora in the lineup and without. And, I mean, that should speak for itself. The guy's not even on the All-Star ballot, and he's the only Cub that, in my opinion, deserves to be on the team.
I mean, I'm trying to think if I would quibble with you and if anyone else deserves to be on the All-Star team, but that's not really the main point of your call. And thanks for making it. Almora deserves to be on the All-Star ballot. It's a popularity contest, and we didn't even know before the season if he was going to get the majority of the reps in center field. 10 guys from the Cubs are on the All-Star ballot. He's not one of them.
He should be on the All-Star ballot, and he's playing almost every day.
Right.
He's playing a lot.
Whether it's as a defensive replacement or a pinch hitter, whatever, against a lefty out of the bullpen, he's getting in a lot. How many, Shep, can you look up how many at-bats Almora's on pace for right now? I can't do that math while I'm on the air. But yeah, he's playing, and how many games played? Just give me both of those that he's on pace for before we get out of here. Yeah, he's playing a lot. And frankly, we're like less than 2 weeks removed from the conversation of, oh, wow, all five of the outfielders are actually playing pretty well. And Joe is doing a good job of balancing that. Right?
Right. And it was just this past Friday when we came in here after the hap trick.
Correct.
Yeah.
When he had that great defensive
different
game and left.
Different heroics from different guys. They've got five guys who can play the outfield. And now we find out Brian Dunsing is trustworthy.
That's right.
And Steve Cishek.
And we're a month removed from Jason Heyward, right? Remember, that was the argument, that it should just be Schwarber, Almora, Happ. Those should be the three outfielders.
Right.
No more Jason Heyward. Now he's hitting 270, and he's your best defensive outfielder of the five. So the mob is fickle, brother. Like that's how it goes.
It's people gotta. I mean, I think every year we get so emotionally wrapped up in this stuff, we lose sight of what a baseball season is until we're just damn tired of watching it every night and look forward to seeing football when it gets to mid-August. At least I know I run in that direction. It's a roller coaster. This shouldn't be uncharted water for people. There are going to be peaks and there are going to be some valleys. They hit up the first series they've lost in what, their last five or six?
Yeah. They were on a roll.
Since that little two-game series against the Indians at Wrigley Field. That's the last series they lost. They lost both of those games.
Yeah. And by the way, it's so refreshing that it's still a roller coaster for fans, and that's great that we all still care and are invested in watching and all that, but it shouldn't be for them.
No, they have to pace themselves. I don't think it is.
Neither do I.
We talked about the roller coaster aspect.
Ah, Phil Emery, I love you. What a goof.
They got the pelts on the wall, man.
You know, when I was the strength coach at the Naval Academy, or wherever the hell he was the strength coach at,
you want one more call here?
Sure.
Before we go to Lawrence?
Sure. It's your world, baby. I just want a piece of it.
It's been fun doing a little post-game. I haven't hosted post-game in a
long
time.
This has been very posty, right? And you just proved why I always loved having my agate pages in front of me so I could quickly look down and without having to mess with the computer and take us off call screener or text, and I would be able to tell you how many at-bats Albert Almora has this year. But we're in a green world. We're improving the environment.
Tell that to all the reads that I do every show.
They get reprinted every day, the same ones?
Every single day. Horowitz and Horowitz. Albert Almora on pace for 526 at-bats. That's plenty.
Yeah, that's right. I think people can. Joe heard you on that one.
Yeah, exactly. He's playing.
He's getting his chances. He's
playing a lot. Let's see here. Oh, this should be fun. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on the score.
Yeah, he finally woke up and put Almora in there more. First, I think he had something against him at the beginning. But anyway, Joe Madden's done a nice job, but when people saying that they wouldn't have won it without him, they won the division by 17 games that year. And once the playoffs started, he should have just went to the bar. I mean, they won it in spite of him. They did. I mean, they won the division by 17 games.
Listen, you know what? That is actually a fair point. it is.
That's, give it to him, Bob.
No, you're right. You know what? That is actually an irrefutable point that anybody could have managed that team to win the division. That is true.
They would have won it without Theo Epstein. I mean, Joe Madden was, what's that one that Mike North used to say, Dan? He was the bellman at the Hilton. You know, like Phil Jackson.
Yeah, I don't remember what Northy said about that, but Bob, I always loved your enthusiasm.
The Ritz-Carlton?
Enthusiasm,
maybe?
Thank you.
That wasn't it? It didn't sound like it was it.
I thought North would have had better lines.
Should we call North and ask him to straighten out what the saying is? Because now I'm curious.
Nah, fine. Unless we can ask him follow-up questions about what Steve Stone said about him on
Twitter. I'll text him after the show, and I'll report to you tomorrow when we have a full five-hour ride.
Perfect.
During which time I will apologize for any times in the past where I've spoken poorly of Wedding Crashers.
Oh, man. Yes. the Mackey review of Wedding Crashers comes tomorrow.
I was going to play 9 today after grocery shopping, but I just, you know, you were singing the praises of Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson yesterday, and I said, I've only seen it a time, maybe twice. So instead of playing 9 holes, I committed to the show and watched it.
Good for you.
Newfound respect for it.
Newfound respect. You got to rewatch these comedies.
Yes, you do. Comedies are usually better the second or third time around.
Got to give them a couple of spins. I said that might be my answer for best comedy of the century. I love that movie. As soon as I said it, I started debating myself for the rest of the night. I put The Hangover up there, put 40-Year-Old Virgin up there. There's a lot of good ones.
But what did you decide in the debate you had with yourself?
I have 15 movies in my top 5.
Yeah, well, the thing impossible. We agree on is since 2000, since the turn of the century, we have been blessed to receive so many just fantastic comedies.
And you brought in some fantastic donuts. We're sharing them with Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
All right. We got a full
bro.
Full Lawrence Holmes show tonight. We welcome him in for Transition with the McNeil and Parkin show, and he is one bite in to a donut.
It's very good.
Very good.
Yeah, good texture. Chocolate seems fresh.
Tell them about it.
Picked them up around 3 o'clock this afternoon. They re-rack every 3 hours at Munster Donuts. I hope that was the donut that you were describing yesterday, the chocolate cake with chocolate frosting.
You got the right one. Absolutely.
And I was noticing for what you talked about yesterday about oil. And when I walked in, I did not smell oil.
It's key. It's key.
That's the key.
Seriously.
That's the metric for the right donut. No oil smell.
It's where you start. Because if you want a three senses donut, that's my little metric on three senses. What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? And if we get to the point where I can smell it and it's not alluring as a smell, I'm not going to eat it.
Wow. So those are weighted evenly? I would think that taste...
It's just hard. If you're telling me that this is the greatest donut that has ever had and it doesn't smell quite right, I'll probably still try it.
Sure, okay. Because I appeal. I mean, have you ever seen a donut that didn't say, hey, come give me a lick?
Careful. careful, Balky. That plays a role into it. The presentation matters.
Sure.
Just like in any other food dish, it matters. So this is good. It's a flaky cake. It's a flaky cake, and I like that because sometimes the cake donuts are a little too thick, and it's like, that's going to be heavy.
Right.
And you can't enjoy, maybe you want to try and take a couple of different donuts and taste a couple different ones.
Uh-huh.
This is a solid donut. I didn't realize they were open 24 hours.
Yeah. 24 hours, 365 days a year.
That's good for your boy. I mean, that's me. I can
late night cravings.
No, but it at least gives me a couple of options. Like, there's a couple of places that I can go. Like, let's say if I get the craving or I want to bring donuts for someone in the morning and I don't want to wake up early, I can head on out after the show, bounce back home, be home in 20 minutes after that. Very easy. So thank you. I appreciate
this. You're welcome.
This is quality.
Yeah, it's setback sweetener for the Cubs not scoring runs the last two times out.
I want to spend some time. Did you guys talk about the whether to pinch hit or not pinch hit Bryant?
Yes.
You got to pinch hit him. I understand he's struggling. He's your best player. And Chris Jimenez is probably your worst player. So to me, it's an easy call. I know you want to give him a day off and give him a little extra time to kind of help get him. He is still your best player.
I think it tells you exactly how much they think Bryant's struggling.
How far in the weeds he is.
Yeah, and how little imports they put on this game.
I thought it was...
It's just another game.
If he told him before the day started, look, you're just going to be an observer today. You've got the day. I get it why he wouldn't have, but you would think the situation might have called. Seventh inning or so, hey, Chris, how you feeling? If I need you, can you hit?
And I'm sure that Bryant would tell you yes.
Yeah, I'll absolutely be ready. I'll do it.
Ozzy used to do that too. Ozzy was steadfast in, if I give a guy a day off, if I tell him I'm giving him the day off, right, then I'm giving him the day off. I'm not looking at it, Danny, as like a, you know, you have to win this game. I'm just looking at it from a strategic standpoint. Like, if you are trying to win the game, then the move is to pinch hit Bryant there.
Yeah, but of course.
Especially when you're doing all the funky stuff in the inning before.
Oh, I had guys fun
going
with
out,
that.
Guys are going out getting gloves, and they're going out to left field. And
yeah, I don't look at them as being in the same. Like, he's trying to win, but he's not trying to max effort win at the expense of his best player, who's clearly struggling. Like, trust me, Joe knows the play is pinch hitting Chris Bryant for Chris Giménez. We all do. Like, I mean, Chris Bryant didn't get into a 1-0 game against the division-leading Brewers.
Well, I mean, it's just that Joe said afterwards, like, you know, I really like the way that Giménez is swinging the bat.
That's
like,
Joe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
That's
I got an MVP sitting right there.
That part of it is obviously ridiculous. Like, when he called them getting shut out earlier, Tanny played it. I love the quote so much. He's like, that's the best-looking shutout I've ever seen.
I will say, that back of the Brewers bullpen, man.
Yeah, they're good.
That is fun. That's some fun Nintendo stuff that they got going on. So we're going to actually do some of that on the show. Jeff Levering, who does play-by-play for the Brewers, is going to join me at 6:30. We're going to talk with him. Casey Johnson, if you haven't read the piece the Tribune did, the retrospective on the Bulls, it is dynamite. So we're going to talk about that at 7 o'clock. Herbie, who else is on the show tonight? We got like a crazy show
tonight. You have Joe on. I saw that.
Joe Ostrowski with his weekly baseball hit that we do, and Robert Klemko from Sports Illustrated is going to talk about the Christian Hackenberg issue. And it's a bigger issue. It's the specialization of the quarterback position from the time these kids are 8, 9 years old. And what does it get you? Does it get you a good quarterback, or does it just get you a scholarship? We're going to discuss that. That and more. And donuts. So
all
thank
right,
you.
Lawrence, I'll be listening on my drive back to Hooterville, bud.
Oh, people want Monster Donut. Thank you.
How many donuts do you normally take in a setting?
No more than two.
No more than
two. I know people think, like, I'm the donut dude. Like, no, you do two.
Okay.
And usually what I'm doing now is I'm doing, like, a half and half.
Yeah. Have another donut!
And Herbie said he wanted to, everyone was scared to, like, come in here and get a donut.
Why?
I don't know.
They were for
Parkins intimidates people.
Yeah, that's what it is. Max said just leave a couple for Lawrence and then everyone else can come
in.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Come on in.
Yeah.
See? Least helpful local talk show host.
There's a guy
Danny
who's
Parkin.
Not bashful.
What about this guy?
Oh, yeah, did you?
Z-Pack, you're not going to try the Boston Cream?
No. All right,
decent band.
See you, Mac. Tanny. Jeff, thank you. Lawrence is coming up next. I'm Danny Parkins. We're back tomorrow, full 5 hours. Lawrence up next. McNeil Parkins, sport.
It was great radio.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.